You heard the legend.
Yeah!
Kickstart your day with the man who dominated the field like no other. Wayne Carey. And the sports journo who's done it all, Mark Howard. The Dead Set Legends do breakfast on Triple M.
Breaking news in the Dead Set Legends studio is one of the legends, in fact the only legend, is out. W. Carey is a late out of the side. He spoke to us yesterday and said he was going in to have a hernia operation and it'd be a 5-minute job and he'd be right to go. Well, I'm not sure what went wrong, but he texted about 2 hours ago, was full of morphine and wasn't in a good way. So our thoughts are with you, boy, ducky boy, if you're listening in. So it's the Dead Set Legend and I'm not sure I'm even a legend. I feel a bit like Zach Dawson, one out in the square with Severio Rocker in all sorts of trouble. So hopefully we get through the show, but don't worry, because we've got guest galore to get us through today. Jack Riewoldt will join us at 6:30. He's got a bit of stuff to talk about Matty Riewoldt's vision. Then Chris Judd comes in at 7:30, Josh Gibson at 8 o'clock. So we've got football well and truly covered. The big story revolving around Melbourne today is about the Westpac Bank. Homeowners on average, a mortgage will have to shell out an extra $500 a year after the Westpac Bank became the first bank in 3.5 years to hike interest rates out of step with the Reserve Bank. Their annual net profit for the financial year was $8 billion, and they'll make an extra $1.5 million a day. That's a day, if you don't mind. Your average mortgage of $300,000 will be an extra $14,000 over the period of the loan. Scott Pape, the barefoot investor, will come on at 7:20. I don't think he'll be that impressed with what's going on. The Duck is laid up in hospital after having a hernia operation yesterday. Didn't quite go as planned, so hopefully he's back tomorrow. But our thoughts with you, ducky boy, out there. But don't worry, because out Carey in Riewoldt J, and very nice replacement. Possibly a better player for mine. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Jack.
Easy, Harry. Don't go saying that sort of stuff on live air, mate.
It's all right, mate. Duck's on morphine. He's not listening. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Hey, wonderful to speak to you. We spoke a couple of times about this year, Matty Riewoldt's vision, your cousin's vision, and I still think for mine it was one of the most magical moments of the season. Round 16, St Kilda versus Richmond. Over 45,000 fans turned out in attendance and raised an enormous amount of money. Congratulations to you and Nick and the entire family for getting it up and running. Some figures have come through relating to the entire operation, and it's unbelievable news, Jack.
Yeah, it is, Harry. Look, obviously, the Matty's match between the Saints and the Tigers was the launch profile for MRV, Matty Riewoldt's vision, and look, the support we received on that weekend was overwhelming, and it's very pleasing to announce yesterday that we've raised $750,000 in the 16 weeks since we've been an organisation.
Wow.
or a vision. 314,000 of that came from the actual game, so that was all the people that came along and wore purple, donated to the game. Obviously, the sponsors on the match day were fantastic as well, and Etihad Stadium for hosting us and being so generous with their time in setting up this event. It's been overwhelming, Harry, and look, to obviously raise $750,000 in 16 weeks is a pretty awesome effort, and we couldn't have done it without the support of not only the football public, but the general public and people from every walk of life.
Jack, as an individual, how does that make you feel, that people have got behind this cause that's only been running for 4 months and have raised $750,000? When you heard that figure for the first time, how does it make you feel, my friend?
Yeah, certainly it's a very humbling experience to think that the part that I've played in obviously MRV and helping set it up with Nick and Nick's family and obviously the people from behind the scenes that have really bonded together early and put in some long hours to get it up and going. I mean, at board level we've really been strong there and been able to push things through really quickly and been able to get things organised. So I think everyone that's involved is obviously it's still raw because it's only, I suppose, 6 months since Madeline passed away. It's still raw in everyone's minds, and everyone still has their moments where they do get emotional. But I think everyone takes great pride in knowing that the public and the football fraternity have really supported us. Obviously, they've supported us emotionally through it with the closeness, and I suppose footy clubs are a great places to be around when you need a bit of a hug or something goes down in your life that is tragic, like someone passing away. So the levels of support and the just how they've come across have been fantastic.
You can still donate. It's obviously ongoing. You can jump on the website at Matty Rewalt's Vision, mrv.org.au. That's mrv.org.au. Or jump on the phone and send a simple SMS, Matty, at 0437 371 371. That's 0437 371 371. Where's the money gone so far, Jack?
So initially we've set up, we've sort of joined up with the Aplastic Anemia Registry, which is run through, I suppose, every hospital in Australia that deals with patients that have aplastic anemia, which is a form of bone marrow failure syndrome, and aplastic anemia is obviously the one that Madeline passed away from. So firstly, we want to paint a really good picture on identifying where everyone is and getting every hospital that is looking after these people to be on the same page, sharing the same information on what sort of treatments they're using, what's working, what's not working, how can we best deal with people that have got bone marrow failure syndromes at the moment, aplastic anemia, and make their lives easier, and then ultimately how we want to become a big organisation that can eradicate bone marrow failure syndromes and find a cure for this disease that obviously affects a lot of young people in Australia, and get rid of it. So that's the main goal early. But the grants, they're going to go through a wider range of things. I mean, it'll go into a lot of research. It'll go into helping people in the immediate future. But ultimately, it's into research and to find that final cure.
Spot on, Jack. Just to change gears slightly now, I've been informed that you're having surgery this afternoon. Don't go to the same doc that the duck went and saw just quietly. You might be in a bit longer than you expected. But in all serious matter, I feel for you footy boys at this stage of the year, because if someone said to me, right, you work all year, you're going to go on holidays on X date, and 3 days into your holiday, you've got to have an operation, that'd really disappoint me, mate. It must be a little bit difficult. What are you doing? What's going wrong? And how long are you going to be out of action?
Look, I'm only going in for a minor shoulder surgery. How are you? Look,
Duck went in yesterday for a minor hernia, yeah. And he's still there, so just be a touch careful.
Well, I joked yesterday that I might not come back with an arm, so just a minor surgery on a shoulder. To be honest, I sat down with the doc at the end of the year, and we thought it'd be all right to push through and not have it done, but look, it's got to the stage where it's like, but let's knock it on the head, get it over and done with. It's a 2 to 3 week recovery, so I mean, and that's from golf I'm talking about. So get it done, have a short recovery time, and then get back into pre-season training and look forward to obviously getting back into the season 2016.
Have you been on holes, mate? Have you been anywhere? Have you been in Melbourne town?
No, I've been around. I went to Cairns last weekend, and it rained the whole time, which was a little bit disappointing. But been around town. Just, I've actually been doing a renovation up at the house. I've got in queue, getting it ready for sale. So doing a little bit of a renovation up there. Been on the tools, so I like to think I'm a bit of a handyman. But
Jack, we did that story together a few years ago when you were off to trade school and you sort of had one of those big thick pencils in your pocket and you're wearing the overalls. I don't think you're a trade school man. I'm not sure that's your cup of tea, great man.
Well, I have just started the carpentry apprenticeship now, so I'm sort of hoping that I might turn into something. But to be honest, it's just been a lot of painting. Assistant coach of ours, Brendan Lade, has been up there giving us a bit of a hand. He's a bit of a painting guru, actually. So he rates himself with the brush and the roller.
Gee, the lunch bill would be pretty big if Big Lady rolled in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's just a banana smoothie and a ham and cheese toasty man, actually.
Is he? As we let you go, you can choose one player in the entire competition, any player to come to Richmond next year. Drafts, everything aside, who is it?
You put me on the spot there, Harry. I don't know. There's some exciting players out there, and I think the game's going so well at the moment. That Fife's pretty good, I think. So we wouldn't mind having him. But on the other side of that, we'd love any good player to come to the footy club. But yeah, I think Nat Fife's the people's choice at the moment, and spoke so well at the Brownlow, and I think he's such a a great player, but he's such a great role model for the game and also for his football club too. So you'd be hard pressed looking past that Twyford Company Football Club.
I think you're right, mate. Congratulations to all involved at MRV. You've raised $750,000 already. Well done to everyone that turned up to that game of football, raising $314,000 round 16. We'll be back again next year. You can jump on mrv.org.au. Jack, we appreciate your time. Best of luck with the operation. We hope to see you soon. And again, congratulations to everyone involved.
Thanks, Harry. Talk to you soon, mate.
Big news, a lot of talk this week about the Australian Open, and you're invited to the biggest sporting and entertainment event of the summer. It's open season. I like the slogan. It's open season for the Australian Open 2016, 18 to 31st of January. Get your tickets through Ticket Tech now. All sorts of great players in action. Some of the young Aussies, Kokkinakis will be there, and of course Nick Kyrgios will be there. Talking about Nick Kyrgios, if you've been on another planet in recent times, he's been fairly vocal in some of his tennis matches. This is a little bit of what he's brought out already this season.
Get him out of here immediately.
Yeah, he's been dropping the bomb left, right and centre. Obviously, the big one was when he had the clash with Stan Wawrinka. That was the one where it took him to a whole new level. This is what he had to say that day. If you can't quite pick up that audio, I'm not going to repeat it for you, but it was reasonably obvious as a result of what happened. Now, he got a suspended fine and all sorts of penalties relating to that. So he's basically on 6 months probation, Nick Kyrgios. 2 days ago, when he had a win over in Shanghai, he had a bit of a crack at the ball person and as well as a cameraman. Well, last night he got rolled by Kei Nishikori. Won the first set, was in fantastic form in the first set, 6-1, but then lost 4-6, 4-6 to the 6-seed Kei Nishikori. When the ball was dead, he decided to strike it straight down the middle of the court and nearly took out a ball person, and this is what took place then.
No, but the linesman had to jump away. It was very dangerous. Yeah, he did.
It was about 2 meters away from
you. Yeah, like this.
I want to speak to where the supervisor. Can you get him out, please?
Yeah, so again, he's really treading a fine line with that probation hanging over him. Australia lit up, as you would expect. Tex Walker jumped on Twitter, the Adelaide captain, Tex Walker 13. When is this absolute galoot? Now, I like that term. That's a term used from a man from Broken Hill. When is this absolute galoot going to learn what a dead set flog? Just suspend the peanut. Now, I think a lot of people agreed with that statement. Nick Kyrgios replied in pretty quick form, as he does. I don't even know who Tex Walker is, LOL. I don't have the exact quote from Paddy Dangerfield, but Paddy did weigh in with something along the lines of, this is a guy that raised $65,000 for cancer by shaving his head. Sounds like a good bloke to me. So the Adelaide Crows and now the Cats player have got involved. So Nick Kyrgios continues to tread a very fine line. Mick Molloy has been over in the United States of America. We're about to play an exclusive from you where he had a chat with Jarryd Hayne. Now, Mick, it must be said, he was on holidays and he might have had a couple of beers before he got into the locker rooms post the game against New York. San Francisco 1-4 in NFC West at the moment, so they're not going that well. But Mick Molloy has sat down and it's been described to me as a part Michael Parkinson, part Bruce McAvaney style interview. We'll play it exclusively on the Hot Breakfast next week when Mick returns, but this is Mick talking to Jarryd Hayne about the NRL Grand Final and Jonathan Thurston.
I just want to ask for the fans at home, Jonathan Thurston went berserk in the NRL Grand Final. Did you watch it and was it one of the greatest Grand Finals and is he just one of the greatest players to ever play that game?
I watched the highlights. You know, I didn't get up that early to watch the game, but you know, it was great for JT to win. You know, he's definitely been a big fan of me being over here and you know, text me a lot just saying congratulations and that he's been supporting me. So, you know, for me just to see him, you know, the last couple of years get so close and not get there, you know, I was definitely in his corner and I wanted him to win. So to see he missed that goal, which is, you know, he's so cool and calm under pressure, was it wasn't him, but you know, for him to get the field goal was awesome. And you know, I hit him a couple of days after the game and obviously he's ecstatic and you know, it's great. I think for me, you know, I feel honored to play with him, you know what I mean. I think he'll go down as one of the best ever, you know. So it's going to be, you know, when he retires and all the accolades kind of you know, that he going to get as well, you know, it's going to be, for me, it's going to be honest. So I hope he remembers me a couple of years and hopefully try and get one of his jerseys.
That was Mick Molloy with Jarryd Hayne. The rest of that interview played exclusively on the Hot Breakfast next week. That's the high point from what I've been told. From there, it might go a little bit left of centre. Jarryd Hayne, he's doing an extremely good job in the NFL. You might not have heard it a couple of weeks ago. He was mic'd up. This is audio from the San Francisco Giants. He's certainly fitting in the NFL. He's using the terms like baby, etc. Have a listen to Jarryd Hayne in action, in-game with Mike.
Come on, defense! I see you, man! That's all you, baby. Woo! All right, Ian. All right, baby. Big dog, come to eat. Big dog, come to eat, baby. All right. Yeah. That's the one, baby. That's the one. Woo! Sorry.
Good job.
Come on, man.
You all right?
It's only my fourth game, man. Why are they scared to kick it to me for? Come on, man. It's my fourth game.
Jared, that's a good thing, man. I mean, you're dangerous, bro.
I want to return it, though.
The big dog has come to eat. Then it's only my fourth game. Why do you have to kick it to me, man? Just imagine if you came off the AFL Grand Final and on the Monday they were playing audio of Luke Hodge on Grand Final day with a microphone on. It's something to think about. How good would that be?
Money, how to make it, how to keep it, and where to put it. It's business time. On Triple M's Hot Breakfast, this is Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor.
Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, mate. How are you going?
Well, how are you going? You've opened up the front pages of the paper today. No doubt you're all over this situation.
Yes.
Homeowners on an average mortgage will have to shell out an extra $500 a year after Westpac became the first bank in 3.5 years to hike interest rates out of step with the Reserve Bank, Scotland.
If you take away the screaming headlines, right, and you just look at this like that, it kind of makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, Australia needs really strong, profitable banks. You know, we need them to be making a profit. You don't want weak banks. And thankfully, Australia has got some of the most profitable and the strongest banks in the world. We've also got some of the greediest banks in the world. I mean, this is four companies, let's just look at this, that are making $30 billion or close to it this year in profits. You know, so the way they've done that, obviously, is by hocking us all a lot of debt, you know, getting us to the point where Australian households are some of the most heavily indebted people, you know, in the world. You know, so the regulator basically said, hang on a minute, for the next downturn, we need you guys to actually put aside more money just so that you don't go belly up, as they should.
Yep.
And the banks then had a choice. They said, look, we can either take our lumps and reduce our profitability, or we can shake down our customers. And that's essentially what they've done. So you've got the Westpac out now who have said, you know, we're increasing our rates by 0.2%. It's almost like they draw it out of a hat. So this week or this month, it's Westpac that are the bad guys. You know, last time it was the CBA. Before that, it was the ANZ. They're all going to increase their rates in my view. But the thing is, the really interesting thing for me is they've done their sums. They know that they can get away with it, even though they're going to make, $1.59 million a day or something. They know that, you know, the people listening driving in their car that are Westpac customers, and there's millions of them, are just going to, it's easier to bitch than it is to switch. So they know they're going to get away with it.
Well, that's the point. You think, oh, well, I'm going to go into Westpac, I'm going to roll in there this morning and say I demand to take my money out and go elsewhere. And then you think, actually, I've got to pick the kids up from school this morning. I've got to go to work this afternoon. And it becomes a big effort. Yeah, well, that's it. The Bachelorette's on, of course. We need to listen and read Scott's column in the Herald Sun. But Scott, does the bank owe the greater responsibility to its customers who they're gouging in your terms, or to their shareholders who they're trying to put more money into their pocket?
You just got to look at the way that they have behaved over, over the last, since they were demutualised. They look after themselves and their shareholders, and it's why on this show for years, Ed has said, own shares in the bank. It's a way that you sort of get your own back. But you know, my view would be that if you actually rang your bank, and I've done this with literally thousands of people who've read my column, if you ring your bank and you say, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore, the truth that the bank doesn't like anyone knowing is that it costs them about $1,000 to replace you, maybe a little bit more, but about $1,000 in marketing costs in order to get you back or to replace you. So that's your negotiating power. So my view would be you don't actually have to cop the 0.2%. You can actually ring your bank and say, I'm moving. I'm going to transfer over best rate that I've seen from a mainstream sort of lender is 3.99%. The majority of people are going to be on about 4.7 thereabouts. You can actually get that changed over. If you were to do that on a $500,000 loan, you'd save yourself about $80,000 over the course of your loan. Most people won't do that though, Howie. No, most people are too busy. But you can ring your bank, if it's Westpac, and say, I'm not copping the 0.2%, and you'd be very surprised that the majority of people who go through that and argue will actually get that waived.
Very, very quickly, will this cause the Reserve Bank to reassess interest rates?
I think they're going to be cutting interest rates anyway, but I think it'll reassess the main one. It'll reassess all the other banks to put their rates up. So that's what they're going to do.
Scotty, we appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to your columns over the weekend.
Thanks, mate.
Scotty Pape, the Barefoot Investor. A little bit from our Facebook page. Jess Gurry, I'm with Westpac, but I'll be looking elsewhere after this. Brett Davis, absolutely ludicrous. Sarah Griggs will be looking to change banks. Michelle Jamison, pathetic and greedy. Duck is out of the equation. He's in hospital at the moment, but he's been replaced by a superstar of the game. In fact, a better player for mine, Chris Judd. Hello, Juddy.
Hello, Howie. Thanks for having me.
I was pretty excited when you walked in, especially when you said, yep, you could dedicate the next hour and a half of your time to the show and get us through to 9 o'clock.
I've never seen a radio producer so happy to see me. So,
I'm so excited.
It's lonely in here for you.
Hey, congratulations on the book, Chris Judd, Inside, the autobiography. What was the process like? We had Peter Garrett on talking about his book yesterday, and he said he sort of found it a bit cathartic and a nice experience. How's it been for you?
Yeah, I guess I'd probably equate it to a bit like eating Chinese takeaway from a bain-marie. It seems like a good idea at the time, and then once you've finished, you're not sure if it was something you should have done. But I think in a few years' time, to have a document of the things I learned and the interesting things that happened to me through my footy career, I'll be really pleased with it. It'd be great for the kids to be able to read it as well.
Is it a tell-all? Is everything we need to know in there? Did you have to protect people? Were you wary about certain stories, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. I had no interest in burning any bridges, or if someone told me something in confidence, there was no way I was going to put that in a book. So it's not that sort of book. The book's really about me documenting the lessons that I learned through 14 years of footy.
There's a couple of things I want to discuss in it with you. Obviously, everything to do with the Eagles and your discussion about the premiership and your reaction on the podium, where you look like you just sort of won a NAB Cup game in about in February, and then Cuzzy looked like he'd come up and won the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of discussion at the time. I remember Liesl Jones went through a similar thing when she won a silver medal, and everyone said, why wasn't there more of a reaction? But you just sort of said that it still hadn't sunk in at that stage, and even when you got into the rooms, you just wanted to be surrounded by your teammates, and that was all.
Yeah, I mean, I was wrapped, but I was just completely exhausted. It'd been 2 years where we were close to being in contention, and obviously lost a really close game the year before. And even during the game, I had a dislocated shoulder that was popping out for the last 45 minutes while Adam Goods was just about, winning the game for Sydney while he was playing on me. So when that siren went, I was still elated, but I was completely exhausted and genuinely just relieved. So yeah, that were the different reactions. And it was an interesting thing to see how, there was criticism over how I reacted and some criticism over how Cuz reacted. And reality is, however you want to celebrate and feel is it up to you.
There's a comment also you made here that Woosha came in at one stage when there was things going on at the West Coast Eagles and said, look, do you want to be the Oakland Raiders, point blank? If you do, just tell me. I'll go there into the boardroom and stand by you, relating to a team that had a reputation for playing hard, living hard, guns, alcohol, drugs, you name it. In the end, you've said, yeah, but really, we didn't want to be the Oakland Raiders. I'm sure there was widespread relief about that in your usual understated style. Must have been an interesting conversation the coach had with you when he realised that things weren't going down the right path, Chris.
Yeah, it was. Look, he was pretty frustrated then, as were a lot of people in the footy club. Footy clubs are made up of 45 players, and in that group there were players that went to church every Sunday. There were, players that had young families, the players that were running small businesses, and there were, some players with some behavioural issues. So most players that get spoken about now through the media, the story is on the guys who were struggling, but there was a whole wide variety of players in that team, and by and large, most were living very respectable lives.
Chris will be signing books this afternoon at 12:30 at the Bourke Street Mall, Target, so get down there. because Juddy loves the fans and getting out there, don't you, Juddy? Pressing a bit of flesh. Also, 5 p.m. at the Glen Shopping Centre. You're actually heading out to the Burbs as well, Judster.
That's right, the People's Champ. So, no, looking forward to it.
The People's Champ. Don't be saying that to me with a straight face. Page 186 of the book. There's a magnificent photo of you and Twiggers, as I like to call her. Wedding day on New Year's Eve 2010, it says next to the photo. The little blurb, I know what you're thinking. She's batting way above her average. That's surely just taking it. Surely, Christopher.
You're not sure, Howie?
I'm not sure. You're a nice fella, but
I'm a good cook, Howie.
Yeah, okay. You must be a good cook. What was the favourite part of the book to write? What part did you write and read back and smile and think, yep, that's what I was all about?
What was the favourite bit? I think just remembering how much actually happens over a 14-year career and how many people you've played with and how many people you've met. So playing at two clubs over that period of time, I probably played with 200 different players and come across, you know, 200 or 300 different staff that I've worked reasonably closely with. And just, you know, the little funny stories that come up, put a smile on your face. You know, I remember Styx Kernaghan after the booze crews came in and sprayed the playing group and was justifiably filthy at our behaviour. And he stared at me and he said, you know, Juddy, what were you thinking? I said, well, to be honest, I was thinking this is a lot of fun. and Styx being such a good bloke and, you know, as sort of a man's man, could understand that at the time that is all you're thinking. But, you know, just little stories like that bring a smile to your face when you recount them.
Juddy, doko ikimasu ka? Nihon e ikimasu. Where are you going? I'm going to Japan. You've just got back. You obviously understood everything I said then. You've been on holidays with the crew.
Watashi wa Christoph. Just a little thing I picked up, Howie.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I believe it means my name is Chris.
Right, but, that's a step in the right direction.
Going to look a bit silly if it doesn't.
How'd you go over there?
Mate, it was good. I went there for a mate's bucks party. So it was a pretty serious 4 days. So spent 4 days in Tokyo, catching up with guys I went to school with. And had a lot of fun.
Different place. I noticed some of the pictures in your book here, and you're running out for Caulfield Grammar, and you've got a goatee, which is impressive for a 17-year-old. Is that something you had to work on, or because I can't do that now, and I'm not 17 anymore?
Yeah, I got hairy early, Howie, but not in the right places. So that I started going bald about 19 or 20, and I remember on draft day, I was working on a really crappy moustache.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it here. Didn't quite
get there. It just looks like there's haven't been washing properly. So, you know, some of the things you learn over the journey.
And your ability to smile. I always enjoy opening confidential, and you always have that sort of lopsided smile, Juddy, and it goes right back to when you were like six.
It really does. It's very Elvis-like.
Elvis, is that the way you put it?
So it's... It's pretty special.
Life now, Chris, you're working in property and investment. Must be a great change for you, but it looks like something you're enjoying, something that suits you.
Yeah, it's been really good working with some smart people and just getting exposure to lots of different businesses. So I'm just working in St Kilda and I've got a couple of weeks off now to do the book tour, but really, really excited about hooking back into that in early November.
And a couple of footy questions. It'd be remiss of me to get you in here and not ask you about the great man Cyril. Just what is about his performance on Grand Final? Extraordinary, Juddy. Some of the best stuff I've ever seen. You can add to this.
No, it was incredible. I was there. I think he's widely been renowned as, I guess, the most damaging player in terms of the number of possessions he has to influence a game. But his performance and the whole team's performance was pretty exceptional. It's very hard to see anyone beating him next year.
You think they could go four in a row, which would sort of defy the AFL system in some ways?
Well, it would, but I have this discussion with people. I mean, if you were getting a surgery done on your heart, you'd go to a surgeon that nailed his last 2,000 operations. You wouldn't go to someone that mucked up his last 10 in the hope that he was bound to get one right sooner or later.
Well, I think this is the problem Duck had. I think he went for the first time and he's still there.
Whereas, I mean, I think if you look at their systems, it's pretty clear there's some evidence they know what they're doing. You know, they've still got some good guys playing VFL that have come up. And, yeah, I think there'll be a real chance again next year.
Do you think the AFL is going down the right path with free agency and what we've seen this week with the trade? Your former club was a little bit disappointed. They said, you know, it was a bit of chook lotto, I think was the word out of Brisbane. Frawley, the Hawks, and that number 3 pick Melbourne got, and then Selwood, I think it's sort of pick 39, somewhere in that area.
I think philosophically, I like free agency and think players that have been at a club for a period of time need to have the freedom to be able to move and live where they want. But I think there'll be some tweaking to it. And I guess you just don't want it to be where the bottom 4 or 6 clubs are almost like an incubation centre for the top 4 or 6 clubs. And when blokes get to their mid-20s, they say, oh, I want a flag. I'm going to join one of these top 4 clubs. So whether or not they get excluded from the free agency or however it's going to be tweaked, I'm not your man to answer that. But I think there'll be some modifications to it going forward.
Juddy, congratulations on the book. You can get it in bookstores now. Chris Judd Inside. Signing books at 12:30 at Bourke Street Mall today and 5 p.m. out at the Glen. The people's champ, as he's known in the AFL industry. Juddy, best of luck with the book. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Thanks, Abby.
Mark Howard, Chris Judd. Dead Set Legends Do Breakfast. Please stick around, Juddy. Come on. We've got to get through to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Come on. Nicole Gunn reported earlier on the show about a serious carjacking, car theft attempt in Port Melbourne overnight. She'll bring us the latest with that at the 8 o'clock news. But on a more lighthearted note, there's been a couple of car stolen situations in Melbourne this week that caught my eye. One, a gentleman tried to steal a fella's ute. Now, you never try and take a fella's ute. Apparently, the thief in question was only a little fella. The bloke that caught him that owned the ute was a big fella. And can you believe it? The thieves of Melbourne these days, trying to get out of being pinned, are even offering to do domestic duties. This is what happened.
I'm sorry, let me go. I'll mow your lawn, I'll do this. I'll doing all sorts of things. Oh, he regretted it. As soon as he saw me, he regretted it. I grabbed hold of him and he knew I was sort of outweighed him. It was all over. Just did whatever, what I thought anyone would do. Felt like a man again, though.
Until we heard that laugh, Captain, you felt like a man. So he apprehended a man trying to steal his ute, and the bloke offered to mow his lawn to let him off the hook. Another one this week, which was a serious incident, when a man was confronted when he was getting into his car. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of those stories where he had his baby in the car. Even more important to this fella, he had his dog in the back of his car.
My dog's me life. I love him, and I've gone, oh, mate, you can't steal my dog on me. Like, can I at least have my dog? And yeah, he's just gone, yeah, take him, get him, sort of thing.
Two things you cannot steal of a man, be warned, crooks of Melbourne. One is his ute, and two is his dog. His dog in the back of his ute, that's a real criminal offence. Carey out of the side with a hernia, but don't worry because he's being replaced by a man that's better looking, much funnier. Lawrence Mooney is in for the next half hour. G'day, big fella.
Extraordinary. As a football fan, it's almost a dream come true. Carey out, Mooney in. I've got some big shoes to fill there at centre-half forward, haven't I?
You do, but you've got plenty to get us through. Some big Absolutely. Stories in the paper today. What a rip-off. The Westpac Bank has raised interest rates. They make another $1.5 million more a day, Lawrence.
$1.5 a day is nice. It's very similar to what we're on here at Triple M.
You're on.
Yep, that's right. So we might be speaking to Malcolm Turnbull a little bit later on to find out what he thinks about that, because Mal's a big fan of the show, big friend of the show. And also, I want to say to you, I was listening yesterday when you were speaking to Neil Danaher. That was a tremendous interview, Howie.
Thank you. He's a good man.
He's a good man, and I'm a big Essendon fan, so I go back to beating Carlton very late in the year, 1981. We're 26 points down. He kicks, I think, 3 goals in the final quarter. He was an amazing footballer whose career was cut short because of knee injuries. And now he is just showing what he is made of as he takes on motor neurone disease.
Yeah, spot on. And Danaher's drive is going around Victoria. They're leaving this morning. So good luck to them. We had a kick of footy together at some stage, didn't we?
I think I was umpiring in the rec league.
That's right.
And
Sacred Heart.
Yeah, Sacred Heart. I was the umpire. So the rec league is, for people who are homeless and disenfranchised and struggling, and so it's something for them to do during the week. And young Howie just streaking down. You had some toe.
Yeah, that was
and
a long
skills.
Time ago. No, I wasn't homeless at the time. It must be pointed out. Yeah,
you were of no fixed address, but you weren't actually homeless.
No, I'd done a story with the boys. It's an incredible operation. If you ever get to see these boys play, as you say, that homeless or have had some issues in life, and they get out there and play footy. And everything's forgotten. For 2 hours, they're just blokes out having a kick of the footy. It's
so the
one of the most
Heart,
magical things I've been involved in.
The Odyssey House Blues.
That's right.
Father Bob's mob over at South Melbourne had a team.
At once we travelled and played inside a prison, I do recall.
Down at Malmesbury.
That's just outside
of Bendigo with the youth down there.
Des Dowling said, we've got an away game. And I said, where are we playing? He said, in prison.
We've got an away game. Where are we going? Inside.
That's exactly right.
But when you play youth who are in prison, they really have nothing to lose. They don't leave anything on the ground.
You don't mouth off. I remember Des saying to me, whatever you say, don't give a bloke stick if you kick goals on him.
Are we going to shower after this game? No. Back in the cars, boys.
That's it. You've got a big guest.
Yes, one of the very good friends of the show here at Triple M and a friend of the station is the Prime Minister himself, Malcolm Turnbull. Welcome to the show, Malcolm, if I may call you Malcolm. Of course you can, Lawrence, and it's lovely to be here. I'm I'm thrilled to be able to come and do radio with you chaps. And where's Das, Mick and Eddie? Are they off gallivanting somewhere, aren't they?
They're in New York at the moment. New York? Mr. Prime Minister, yes.
I've got a lovely anecdote or two about when I was a partner at Goldman Sachs in New York. I was making what you might refer to as a shirtload of money. They were good days, and they were good people. Good on you, Howie.
What's going on with the banks, Mr. Prime Minister? What a rip-off is splashed across the front page of the Herald Sun today.
I think the Herald Sun have got it right today. It is a rip-off. First, Westpac have bumped up the home loan interest rates, and they're making another $1.5 million a day. And I think the other banks are going to follow suit, the big four banks, and they're really hitting working Australians where it hurts. And I for one, have got to say it's appalling, utterly reprehensible behaviour. And I'm going to send a lot of your listeners scurrying for their Roger's thesaurus as I keep saying things like quixotic and prescient and words of that nature.
See, Duck can't bring this to the table. If Lawrence Mooney has got the Prime Minister on the line.
The Duck, we send our best to you. Get well soon. He did a hernia, did he?
He did, yes. Prime Minister.
Lifting up a hole punch or a stapler in the office.
His leftover books, I believe, that haven't all sold out at this stage, Mr.
The remaindered books.
That's exactly right. Talking about banks, revealing and startling information has come to light, mm-hmm. revealing yourself and an account in the Cayman Islands, a bank account, Prime Minister. Sounds a bit dodgy.
I'd like to put paid to any of the scurrilous rumours that are going around about what's happening in the Cayman Islands. I mean, I've revealed all of my conflicts and investments to the parliamentary board, and they've okayed them. And what I've done is I am investing over there, but it's not to avoid tax. It's just to keep my costs down,
so the
big four banks don't get a hold of me.
But it's nothing to do with the taxation situation, Prime Minister.
No, it's I think it's what they call pass the sniff test.
Does it pass the sniff
test? Well, I think it probably does, and it's not a term that I find particularly inviting, the sniff test. It suggests that you're sniffing something that might not smell that good. And
Investing in the Cayman Islands.
Be it a sock or an old pair of undies. I don't like the sniff test. I think that you can invest anywhere. I encourage Australians to save and to lower household debt like we're lowering national debt in the Liberal Party.
Prime Minister, an extraordinary interview on this show that Ed Set Legends do breakfast yesterday morning with Peter Garrett, who had some extraordinary things to say about Kevin Rudd, one of your former adversaries.
It was most enjoyable to hear him call Kevin Rudd a megalomaniac, a charge that's been levelled at me over the years. But I see Peter's book is called Big Blue Sky. It should be called Big Shiny Bald Head. I mean, what an interesting character he is, with lyrics like, how can we sleep when the beds are burning? Well, we can't, Peter, if the beds are burning. I mean, your bed's burning, mate. You can't sleep, can you?
Was this not a song about reconciliation, Prime Minister?
Sure, it was. And reconciliation's a very important point. I'm glad you make it, Howie. I'm very keen to include our Indigenous people in the Constitution and to maybe move forward to a republic one day. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, because I do like the Royal Family, particularly Kate Middleton.
Prime Minister, we appreciate your time.
I am happy to be here, and good on you. Hot breakfast. Dead Set Legends, whoever you are, Triple M.
Hey, Lawrence, extraordinary that you got the Prime Minister on the
show.
Yeah,
thanks very much, Mr. Turnbull. There he goes. He's just come off his rowing machine, so he's a bit sweaty. He's a great guy. He's a tremendous fan of the show.
Lawrence, you're in the paper today.
I know.
In Confidential, linking you to a morning show job on another network.
And I can say that is what they've got in there is correct. I am not moving away from Triple M at all. I'm a friend of the station, and I'm staying right here.
You look me in the eye and saying you're staying on the M's?
Absolutely.
That's what I like to hear.
That's if they'll have me.
Yeah, well, if you're doing Perth breakfast at the moment as well.
I am doing
there,
Perth breakfast. So
great time zones for that.
Well, it's 9 to 12 here in Melbourne. So unfortunately, Perth breakfast did lose Shane McFarlane last week, much loved announcer. He'd been with the station for a long time, Mix 94.5 over there, and unfortunately passed away very suddenly. And he's a sad loss. So I'm just a guest of the show at the moment. I'm certainly not in any way filling Shane's shoes. So I won't be moving away from Triple M.
You are a comedian. You're a funny man. The next thing I'm going to bring up with you, and I don't like to bring up with you, but it's not funny at all. You've been involved in an incident on the roads, which if it's not in the paper tomorrow, will be in the paper in the next couple of days, Lawrence. You haven't done the right thing, my friend.
No, I am facing caught on Friday for excessive speed. I was clocked at, I think, 170 kilometres an hour in a 100 zone.
What were you thinking, man?
Well, I wasn't, and that's the problem. I was probably, I kind of do blame Elton John's Rocket Man. I was listening to that, and I took my eyes off the speedo and probably enjoying a little bit too much speed. It was late at night. I was heading down to the peninsula. That's no excuse.
No.
There wasn't traffic around me, so I was just going too quickly. And it's a stupid thing to do. I'm going to cop my fair whack on Friday. I think, without wanting to preempt the court's decision, it's a mandatory 12 months loss of license.
And possibly a loss of your vehicle as well.
Well, I've had my vehicle impounded already, right. So that I've gone through that shame out in Preston. They go out to a warehouse, and there you are with all the other offenders who have to turn over their vehicles, and it's a big warehouse. It's amazing the amount of cars that are impounded.
Well, Triple M is obviously a proud partner of the TAC, supporting the One Towards Zero campaign. So you've been in the terms of, and I'm not getting high and mighty on you, but you've been in terms of the ad that we all know, being a blood idiot. How did you feel going in there and giving up your car? And, you know, was it a shame feeling, or what was it all about, mate?
Not necessarily shame. You just realise you're actually made to focus on what you've done. And I got off, let me say, I've got off lightly. I didn't injure myself or somebody else, and I didn't kill somebody else. And so if you think about the possible ramifications and repercussions of speed, and speed is involved in most accidents and loss of life on the road. So let's say I've done that speed, I got off lightly, I'm an idiot, I'm going to cop my fair whack. But I've now got to think about how else I'm going to get around. So I'll probably become very sanctimonious about my carbon neutral status in the next 12 months. Because I bought a bike. I have bought a bike. And if you want to find out how unfit you are, get on a bike. Because I was gasping for air. It's like, I didn't even know I was asthmatic. Yesterday on the bike, unbelievable. It's so I'm going to become fit. And I'm going to probably become a massive pain in the bum as I talk about, oh, you people burning fossil fuels, you motorists.
And when you get back in your car, you will never, ever, ever again speed.
No, I can't, because that I would be truly an idiot. So I've been given a good lesson. I'm going to take it away and become reformed.
Thanks for your honesty, Lawrence. I have discussed on the show that I feel like Zach Dawson, one out in the square, being monstered by Severio Rocker. At that stage, what you need is a good backman to join you, a man with a big fist, and that is who we've got on the line now. Josh Gibson joins us. Hello, Gibbo.
Howie, how are you, mate?
I'm all right. I'm one out in the square, and thankfully you've come to rescue me. We'll talk footy in a minute, but a big night tonight, the Myer Spring Racing Night of Style, Myer on Bourke Street from 6:30 p.m, open to the public, and you are fronting the whole show because you're a very stylish man, Joshua.
Well, mate, I can't say it's just me. I've got Bernie Vince as well from Melbourne, who is he's probably the stylish one, those beautiful blonde locks of his. And we're going to be down there from 6, mate, just giving our two bob on what we think's fashionable.
And the public can come down and get these tips. What is fashionable? I've got to go to Derby Day for the first time in 8 years, Gibbo. What type of thing am I kidding myself out in this year?
Well, mate, Derby Day is black and white, so it's the traditional day, so you can... you can go a safe bet wearing black, mate, because I know you don't like to go over the top.
No, I don't. Thongs?
Just unfortunately not, especially not you, mate, in the birdcage, where I know you'll be rolling. There's a no-thong policy, but you can just top it off with a nice tie, mate, and a good pocket square. That'll do you.
That's what I need. All sorts of stuff going on down there today. How to pick the perfect suit for the races. You get a beer, a burger, and a photo with the official Melbourne Cup trophy. That's at the Myer Spring Racing Night of Style. Do you enjoy this type of thing, Gibbo? Do you enjoy getting dressed up and sort of fluting around with the people?
But I haven't been to the races since 2011, so I'm really excited. It's a good day. As you know, Melbourne comes alive, and it's probably the one time of the year, mate, I have a bet, so it should be a little bit of fun.
Should people be betting on Hawthorn to get the quad-peat, dare I say it? The quad-peat, Gibbo, you're a three-time premiership player. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. I actually am just flying back from Sydney, and someone came up to me this morning and said, are you going to do the Hawthorn next week? That's what they're calling it already, mate. So the fans aren't putting any pressure on. They're not even enjoying this one, mate. They're already looking forward to the next one.
Well, I'm still enjoying this one. Can you actually believe it, in all seriousness, Gibbo? You came across to the footy club a couple of years before Brian Lake, who's got 3 from 3. But when you mention now three-time premiership player, by gee, and it's an enormous rap for you and your footy club.
Yeah, it is. And Sean Burgoyne and I always have this conversation because we came over at the same time. And When a club recruits you, you know, they dangle that carrot of silverware and potential of winning premierships, and that's what we both came across for, and it's been 6 years now, and to have three premierships and playing four grand finals, it's been great for the footy club and justifies the moves for both of us.
What was the best thing you've seen post-grand final as far as celebrations go? I did hear that the skipper turned up with a possible spray tan at one particular juncture.
Yeah, so the skipper and Grant Bertrand rocked up a little late on the Sunday to our for partners and staff and whatnot at Circa, and they'd been over at Guerra's house and they were having a chipping contest, and Goo knocked one in and they both had to get a spray tan. So it was quite funny. It was actually quite funny seeing the look on Birch's girlfriend's face when he rocked up all nice and brown. So good times.
In the rooms afterwards, it was an unusual situation because the elation and ecstasy was there, but it almost had the feeling of previous years it's been unbelievable, we've won the grand final, unbelievable. This year it was more, we've got the job done. That's how it looked from the outside.
Yeah, look, a lot of people have said that, and I know we're definitely excited, but maybe we weren't carrying on as much in the rooms. But it was a little bit of get the job done, you know, from the first game in that final series. You know, we've been well documented how disappointed we were in the way we played. So, you know, we really wanted to come out in the last 3 weeks of the finals and play really well and show that we're not too old and we've still got it. And our speedsters can run.
And apart from the Myer Spring Racing Night of Style tonight at Myer on Bourke Street from 6:30 p.m. where people can get along and have a beer and get a few tips on fashion, etc. for you and Bernie Vince, what else does the break entail? I've heard you've actually already done a few training sessions, but do you get away at all, Gibbo?
Mate, I've got a wedding this weekend, so all the Trinity guys have decided to get married this year, so we've got a wedding this weekend, and then we all jump on a plane Monday for a Bucks the next weekend in LA, and then we've got a wedding in LA the following week just before the races. So busy, mate, with weddings, and then come back, do a bit of the spring carnival, and then go away somewhere again.
Are you going to have your own wedding at some stage soon, Josh?
No, plenty of time now, mate. Just we're just happy on going away on holidays together, mate. That's enough of a commitment right now.
Just taking it 1 week at a time, I see.
True professional you are, mate.
Josh, best of luck tonight. The Myer Spring Racing Night of Style, 6:30 p.m. at Myer on Bourke Street. You can get down there and hang out with Gibbo and Bernie Vince and really enjoy yourselves. You've got three premierships between you. Well done, Gibbo.
Thanks, mate. Doing a good job in there by yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're getting there. This is the Dead Set Legends. Do breakfast. By gee, have we had a show? Duck hasn't been here. He's been in hospital after his hernia operation. But we have spoken to Jack Riewoldt, Chris Judd on his new book, which is called Inside. Get a look at that. Josh Gibson, the three-time premiership player, as well as Lawrence Mooney. Tomorrow, I can't believe I'm saying this, we've got an even bigger show coming your way. Danny Green on who he is going to fight next. Valentino Rossi, one of the most popular and charismatic sportsmen on the planet, as well as Greg Norman. We sat down with Greg Norman. You'll hear that interview exclusively on Triple M's Dead Set Legends Do Breakfast tomorrow. But here's a snippet of it. This is Greg Norman on Tiger Woods.
I don't think you'll ever get back to the level of where he was. No, I think his body's just given up on him in a lot of ways. I don't care what rehab you go through, your weakest link is going to be your weakest link, and you know, he just had back surgery. So you know, there's a shadow of doubt every time you go out there. Believe me, I've had 12 surgeries myself. So every time you go through a surgery, that little bit of self doubt: is that going to be okay? Can I hit more balls? Can I hit it as hard as I used to hit it? And remember, he's going on to be 40, and the young kids nowadays are out driving him. And where he, you know, I was in the same position where you were out driving everybody by 15 yards. Now you're being outdriven by 15 yards. So it's a big dent to yourself, and you try and hit it harder, and therefore you become a little bit more erratic. It's unfortunate. Father Time hurts all of us. And, you know, every athlete is a pass-through entity in their sport. You know, Tiger, you know, put up some phenomenal performances in the years that he had, but will he continue on and win in the future? Yes, he will. There's no question, but he's not going to continue on and dominate like he used to, no.
More of Greg Norman tomorrow on Triple M's Dead Set Legends Doing Breakfast, including Greg's thoughts on golf this year, on Jason Day, on where to invest your money. You need to listen to that because he's done it well as his most recent trip to Kyrgyzstan, where things got a little bit funky for the great white guru. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Hopefully Duck is out of hospital and will join us tomorrow. Enjoy a ripping day today, 34 degrees. I'm Mark Howard. Have a wonderful, wonderful day in Melbourne town. Dead Set Legends back tomorrow from 6:00.